Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Celtics Talk Podcast. Kyle Draper, A'Sherrod Blakely, and Chris Forsberg coming at you from the Auerbach Center, where the Celtics have been holding workouts for potential draft prospects. You guys have been checking those workouts and talking to some of the prospects. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk with Steve Kuyler of Basketball Insiders as well. My guy, Steve Kuyler.
Wow.
We're going to talk all things Kyrie Irving. We're going to talk about Terry Rozier. We're going to talk about Anthony Davis. So make sure you stick around for that. First of all, fellas, we got the draft a couple of weeks from now. But the prospects are coming in. You got free agency. It's not crazy to think what happens these next 3 weeks, Sherrod, is going to shape the future of this Celtics franchise.
Well, it'll have an impact. But when you look at the caliber of talent that they're bringing in here, you look at where their position is draft-wise, you're not exactly doing backflips and cartwheels about this draft. But there are some guys that I think, when you look at where you want to go long-term, can come in and give you something at some point earlier in their careers and potentially be part of your building process going forward. But you're not going to find, you know, Zion Williamson 2.0 at 14. You're not going to
Hold on. You're saying that, Sherrod. But where was Giannis Antetokounmpo drafted? Exactly. So there has to be a sleeper somewhere in there, right? Don't you think the odds are that there will be a really, 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 really good player that comes out of the, let's say, the top 10 that's not in the top 10?
Go ahead, Rich.
Like this draft is just, you know, Zion and then other all-stars.
You keep waving your draft 2019 pom-poms all you want to. I'm just going to keep it real with you. You're not finding Giannis Antetokounmpo at 14 this year.
It's interesting. I wish I could remember who said this, but there's typically seven players that come out of most drafts that go on to be like what you would consider impact players. Yeah. And you never know quite where they're going to come from. And so there is always a value in swings of the bat. And so as much as we sit here and say, well, the Celtics aren't going to take three guys, you know, there's one philosophy that says you should. And depending on the path you're going to navigate, and okay, so like there's a lot of dominoes that have to fall. And this is part of the reason we heard Austin Ainge come out this week and sort of double down on the notion that free agency and the draft should be flip-flopped.
Right.
Because teams build, they build from the top of their roster down. And it's a lot easier to draft a third string point guard in the second round than it is to say, all right, I don't know if Kyrie's going to be back. I don't know if Terry Rozier is going to be back. Do we want to take?
You don't even know your needs, really,
right?
Like,
you know, it really is a kind of a dumb way to do this.
Yeah.
And you know, for teams that are low, like okay, so a rebuilding team, they don't care. Like free agency doesn't matter all that much to them. But for teams like Boston that have put themselves in good position, this really hamstrings them. And I just wonder how, you know, like how they might, it just changes how you have to approach the whole thing. And so I'll be very interested to see if they get to a point where they're confident in a deal that's out there, or if they just, they're like, hey, let's make these picks and see what you can get. But I will say, the history of the Celtics and three picks is very lukewarm at best. I think back to 2015.
Yeah.
You know, Terry Rozier was good at 15, but then Jordan Mickey and R.J. Hunter. Although R.J.'s here, so you know, like they can make
second
that case.
Second time around.
You can go back to the what was it? Al Jefferson, Delonte, Tony Allen year. So there's a value again in the cracks of the bat, but it's just so different when you're trying to get that first domino to fall and you've got to make those picks.
When you got that many picks, you're just hoping to God that just one pans out.
Right.
You don't need to get three home runs, you just need one. And I think that with 14, 20, and 22, there's the potential to do that. But you're gonna need a guy. This is how I see the Celtics, and frankly, any team that doesn't have one of the top picks, you need to find a guy who has a specific skill that they are exceptional at, and they have potential to get better in some other areas. Like, if you've got a guy that already shows signs of being an elite defender,
right,
and their mechanics are decent but not great, that's, to me, that's the kind of guy that you want to target.
You want Shemi Ojeleye 2.0.
No. Okay. No, I got another guy in mind, but I'm telling you, it'll be in one of the mock drafts.
One mock draft.
I have a very specific guy in mind that I think would be a perfect Celtic. He's going to be there for all three of those picks.
I know who you're talking about, but I'm not going to spoil and burst your bubble.
And
like
no, it's
that.
Not Bobo.
No, it's a dude that played down south. I understand who you're talking about. They need to go out and get Tyler Hero, but we'll dive into actual names next week.
Please don't play. We got to save the. There was too much going on for the draft chatter.
Plenty of time, but I want to get into this Kyrie Irving stuff.
Oh,
I feel like
new
every
topic.
Week we talk about Kyrie because every week something, you know,
it's hysterical.
New comes out.
It's just so funny to me.
You know, you got Stephen A. Smith saying the Brooklyn Nets. You got Ian Begley saying Brooklyn. You got Kyrie putting out Instagram posts, going back home. Can we read into any and all of this?
We can read into that all we want to, but at the end of the day, it don't mean a damn thing in the grand scheme of things. And I'm going to tell you why. Because Kyrie has proven to be an individual who moves to the beat of a drum that no one hears but himself. And every little bit of noise that he puts out that we want to, you know, try to read the tea leaves behind, no, do not fall for that okey-doke. Don't fall for it. He is Charlie Browning us time and time again. Why are we letting him Lucy us? I'm not being Charlie Browning. I'm sick and tired of him Lucying us. No.
So what are you saying?
What I'm saying is this. At the end of the day, all of this noise that you hear ain't going to mean a damn thing because Kyrie's going to do what Kyrie's going to do. And at this point, I don't even think Kyrie knows exactly what he wants to do. He has an idea. Okay. I think he has an idea.
Okay.
But he knows himself well enough to know that having an idea of what I want to do on June 6th it may be very different than what it's going to be in 3 weeks when I got to make that decision.
But Chris, and tell me if I'm wrong here. Maybe I'm
you
wrong.
Are,
maybe
but
I'm crazy. But I think Kyrie's been thinking and pointing towards free agency for 2 years now. Even back in Cleveland, he's been trying to get to a point where he can control where he goes. And so he tried it with the trade situation.
Right.
You know, New York was mentioned as one of the teams. Ultimately came to Boston. So I think this will be the first time for him that he's truly in control, and I think he's been thinking about this for a long time.
I think he's been thinking about it, but the thing we always go back to with Kyrie is, like, what does he want? Like, no one has any
damn
clue.
We don't know. He might not know, right?
We sit here, and this is why we sit here and scour his social media trying to figure out, like, what's going on. It's like, oh, he's hugging a crossing guard in New Jersey.
He wants Brooklyn.
He must want to go to Brooklyn. And then we get pictures of him yesterday walking around New York with Robin Pound.
It's
and we're
the
like,
Knicks.
He's going to the Knicks.
Yeah, right.
And then today he's got a video up. I'm going to have to ask my children, who are more in touch with YouTube than me, but the Fine Guru, do you guys know who this girl is? So he's on here smooching with a very lovely lady, and her bio says she's from Compton, California. So we're gonna start
Lakers.
Lakers.
We've touched all the bases now about where potentially Kyrie will want to go, and like it's funny because and we'll get into it with Kyler later, but everybody you talk to is just sort of like, well, you know, Kyrie's leaving, right? And I'm like, how do you know that? Like, because I can't get myself to that point where I'm like, okay, you're judging body language, you're judging how the season ended, you're judging frustrations. I get it. But I don't, until I hear it from Kyrie.
But hold on, Forsberg. Are you not trusting these seasoned veteran reporters? Guys like Stephen A., your boy Ian Begley. Are you not trusting their sources?
There's so much noise out there. I have an agent slide into my DMs last night at like 1 a.m. It was like, see, I told you Kyrie was going to leave Boston. And I like
what
freaked.
What do you mean he told you?
And I don't know. But what it is like people hear Stephen A. say it and it becomes a game of password. It's like, oh, you guys know he's not coming back, right? And it's not that I distrust people's sources. I just think Kyrie's circle is so tight. And as we sort of open this with, I don't know if Kyrie knows yet what he wants to do. He probably has some inkling. He's probably told that circle, like, all right, you know, in my mind, if all the dominoes fall right, I'd like to go to Brooklyn. I'd like to stay in Boston. I'd like to go explore LA. Like something, you know, I'm sure there's a lean, but I don't know necessarily if we can just 100% say that he's made a decision. And so I get it. Danny Ainge, we're peppering with questions yesterday. Doesn't sound super confident that Kyrie's coming back. I just think it's still going to play out. And unfortunately, for the next 3 weeks, we're going to sit here and analyze everything, including all these YouTube finds. And I can see Sherrod's already looking for this fine guru. So.
Yeah, I look at it. Sherrod's looking. Well, you guys were there for Danny Ainge, you know, when he met with the media. Sherrod, you heard Chris say, Danny didn't sound too confident. I mean, what's your read on the way Danny approached Kyrie and you asked some questions of him? What do you take out of that?
I took it as though Danny was not sure where the relationship was, but he wants to keep the relationship strong, and I'm not going to do a damn thing
to mess this up.
So I'm going to say as little as possible, but I'm going to say enough so that you know that I am engaged, that I am still in good standing with my significant other. But let's be honest, it felt as though someone who was like, okay, we're still together and I want to keep this going, but if we break up, then we just break up.
I can't believe, like, Danny was very confident in that whole, like, I don't regret making the move.
Right.
No matter what happened, he shot his shot.
Yeah,
right. Of course, he shouldn't regret that move.
Right, like for what he gave up, for the potential of what it became, he should not feel regret about that move. I mean, it'll temper the way we look at it a little bit if Kyrie departs, but ultimately, you know, you have to. Those are the sort of situations you got to go for. I do think it made me think about when he was being so demonstrative about being okay with risk. I start thinking about the summer, and I say, all right, well, you know, is he sort of hinting like, maybe we'll go after Anthony Davis and that pursuit won't hinge on Kyrie. Like we keep saying, maybe they pull back if Kyrie doesn't want to be here, but maybe not. Maybe like Danny's just bold enough to go all in and roll that dice. Maybe this Kawhi situation's making him think a little bit hotter about that. And like the value of just getting a top guy and the potential to turn it around quickly and dealing with the repercussions further out. So my biggest takeaway was, I don't know if he has a read on the Kyrie situation.
Does that concern you, though? If you're a Celtics fan, here we are. Free agency is, what, 3 weeks away or so? And Danny Ainge, you've basically been recruiting this guy for 2 years. You've had him in, and he still really doesn't know. I mean, is this Paul George? What is this? Is this, you know, somebody else, you know, deciding to leave and going elsewhere? Is this LeBron? Like, which path are we going down here with Kyrie?
I wish I knew.
I
know it's got to be frustrating for Celtics fans because, and then there's the whole thing about, you know, half of them don't want him back because of the way the season played out, and it blows my mind the way this could all play out, and so I don't know. Like I think Danny has to eventually maybe draw a line in the sand and say, tell his representatives, hey, listen, we want to give you space, but it's June 19th. The draft is tomorrow. We feel pretty good about what we're going to do tomorrow, whether that's drafting guys, whether that's making a bid for AD, whatever. And you got to hope that Kyrie gives you a little bit more direction on what he's thinking because it gets really dangerous for this Celtics team if they don't know that going into draft night. And it really adds a layer of complexity to the whole way this plays out.
The elephant in the room that nobody wants to really kind of just put on Front Street is that Kyrie essentially is holding his organization hostage.
Dang, Sherrod.
I mean, let's be honest and real about it. I mean, what he decides is going to ultimately affect the way they progress, the way they go forward. And for them to not have any idea as to which way the wind is going to blow is just, I mean, they're stuck. They are jammed. Unless Danny just says, basically, forget this. We're just going to, you know, we're just going to do what we do. We're going to go out. We're going to pretend as if he's not coming back. And if you're the Celtics, I mean, their fan base would understand that. I think there'd be a significant support approval rate for folks who have that mindset. But the thing that I always keep coming back to with Kyrie, no matter how frustrating he may be, no matter how just almost handcuffed you feel to his decision, is the dude can ball. And when you look at Toronto, you look at Golden State, the only thing they got in common is they got multiple ballers. And if you're the Celtics and you let him walk and you get nada in return, guess what?
You have zero ball.
You're covered as bare. You got some nice canned goods, but you ain't got no meat on the shelf. You got some.
You got to understand, too, before we get to Steve Kyler.
Oh, boy.
If Kyrie does walk,
mm-hmm.
Does Jaylen Brown take that step?
I hope so.
Does Jason Tatum take a bigger step?
I hope so.
We don't know
thirsty.
If we got ballers yet or not. We could have ballers on this roster.
We don't find out real soon.
We don't have proven ballers.
Right, right.
But the fact that Jaylen is spending some time with Melo, which I know a lot of people are hating on.
Okay,
let me tell
Forsberg,
you something.
Yeah, hold up. Put some respect on Carmelo's name, Forsberg. This dude's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
How did Tatum and Kobe workout go?
Don't blame that on Kobe.
Two things with that. First of all, Jaylen is a different kind of dude than Jason Tatum. I think Jaylen is smart enough to know that this guy has major flaws, but he does do X, Y, and Z well. Let me learn about how can I get that one drill pull-up game that Melo been busting kids for a decade with. How can I get, become a better rebounder? How can I do better as far as spacing and getting my shot up? There are things about Melo's game that if you're Jaylen Brown, you'd love to incorporate with yours, but defense is not one of them. Let's get that clear right,
right
now.
You don't want to work on defensive strategies.
If he's talking to you about you need to defend like this, that's when you just get the 20-second timeout, get your bag, and head out. But if we're talking offense.
Can I float one conspiracy theory?
Yeah, go ahead.
What if Danny Ainge knows Kyrie's decision?
Ooh, maybe he does.
What if he knows he's coming back and he's just got to slow play it? Like Kyrie's like, hey, I don't want this out there because I want to have some fun with people in free agency.
Well, if that's the case, then I expect a quick Anthony Davis trade to follow shortly. If he knows Kyrie's coming back, what you waiting on? Go out there and get AD. Make it happen, right? Yo, let's get Steve Kyler on the phone of Basketball Insiders as we talk Kyrie, Rozier, and Anthony Davis with my guy, Steve Kyler. Steve Kyler, thanks for coming on the Celtics Talk podcast. Always great to have you on here, my friend. How are you today?
I am well. How about you guys?
Just trying to make sense of this offseason, man. It's it's interesting because we have no idea what this Celtics roster will look like next year, next season. I think the first domino for the Celtics that has to fall is Kyrie Irving, obviously. And I know people have peppered you on Twitter about, what do you know about Kyrie? Where is he going to go? Just your take on the situation and some of the tea leaves you're reading out there.
Well, it kind of started around the Chicago draft combine. When you start going, the Celtics have three draft picks. How does that all work? Are they going to package all the young guys for Anthony Davis? And kind of the vibe from the executive side was that Kyrie was gone. And then, Then you start talking to the people around the Celtics organization, and they kind of are hearing and feeling the same way that, maybe the love affair that he was feeling early on in the season enough to say he wanted to sign a long-term deal and shoot a Nike commercial about hanging the jersey in the rafters, that a lot of that went away and that he's way more interested in exploring his options. Now, since then, I've talked to some people around the Celtics, and, they understand where they are. He's an unrestricted free agent. He didn't necessarily enjoy the season, and the season didn't play out like he expected, and they feel like what was maybe kind of an easy win now becomes they've got to go pitch and sell themselves to try to get Kyrie in. And that may not be something they can even do, even with all the money they can give him. So, they're operating kind of on two fronts. What do you do if Kyrie will stay? But then what do you do if Kyrie's gone? You guys have been around the Celtics long enough to know they're thinking about seven things, not one thing. And they're working every angle that's available. But I think they believe they're on the outside looking in on Kyrie. And I think everything I've heard around the league kind of mirrors that.
Yeah, the one thing that has really been, I think, the mystery of all mysteries in all this is, what is he looking for? What does he want in a new team? I mean, just, again, from the folks you've spoken with, whether they be close to the Celtics or throughout the league, what's your sense of what Kyrie is looking for in whatever situation he walks into next?
Well, Sherrod, you've done this for a while. I don't think anybody knows. Kyrie is as mercurial as anybody in terms of just what he wants today isn't what he wants tomorrow, and what he wants tomorrow might be what he wanted today. It just changes. So, if you're the Celtics, and I think if you're any team, you've got to put your best foot forward and show Kyrie how he's going to win a championship, wherever he signs. But I do think that he wants to maybe not necessarily be around young guys trying to make their own name, which I think is somewhat ironic because that's exactly why he left Cleveland.
Yeah.
He wanted to make his own name. So, it's just funny. Be careful what you wish for because you might get it. you know, as much as he wanted kind of to be that guy, I think he'd like a lot more help that's maybe willing to play second fiddle to him. Maybe not so much the way that, say, a Jason Tatum, a Jaylen Brown, a Terry Rozier, you know, any of those young guys really wanted to be.
Steve, one of the things I thought you tweeted last week that I thought was interesting was that you weren't certain the Celtics would pursue Anthony Davis. Do you think that's kind of hinges on the Kyrie's decision? And I mean, how much might it play into whether Kyrie would even want to be back?
Well, unfortunately, I think the Celtics are going to have to make the decision on Anthony Davis before they know what's going to happen with Kyrie. And it's one of the reasons, and Danny's come out and said this publicly, that, you know, because he is a Celtics player, they're allowed to have conversations with his agent. They don't have to necessarily wait. So they've got to get a real sense that if they pulled the trigger and empty the cookie jar for AD, would that be enough to get Kyrie to give a firm yes? But there's risk there. And, you know, as much as everybody likes to think the Celtics are big risk takers, they've never really been. You know, they'll reach a little bit in the draft and they'll grab a guy they believe in, but they're not going to risk the entire future on Kyrie walking to Brooklyn and Anthony Davis in a year walking to the LA Lakers. And then you're left with absolutely nothing. As secure as Danny Ainge is, that's never a good place for anybody to be.
Steve, you know, I'm going to stay with Kyrie because I feel like his reputation took a hit. You know, we know how much of a talent he is, but he did not have the best series against Milwaukee. And now some are questioning whether he can be the guy on a championship team. Do you think Kyrie's standing in the league or what kind of player he is or how other teams think of him? Is he still, you know, that top 10, top 12 player, or did his reputation take a hit and his game take a hit with this season?
Well, I think his reputation took a hit, but I would tell you LeBron's reputation took a hit when he couldn't get it over the line in Cleveland. And that's one of the big reasons why he opted to go to Miami. You know, everybody was like, you know, LeBron's maybe the greatest player in the game, but he can't close. You know, the biggest thing that all players have to go through is kind of what I'll call those mid-20s, when you're at the top of your game, but you don't know how to win the big game. And, you know, Kyrie's never really had to kind of shoulder that level of workload. Now he has to do it for Boston, and he came up lacking. Some of it is he's got to get better. Some of it is he's got to be a more willing teammate. You know, there's a lot of growth that he's going to have to go through personally, but it still doesn't change the fact that he's a multi-time all-star. He's an incredible basketball player. And if he turns the corner a little bit, I think absolutely he could be the catalyst. But I don't think it's just show up and do everything you did this year with a new team and think that it's all going to be better. He's got to get better, too. And I think that's kind of part of it. And part of the pitch is how you can adapt and adjust his game to make sure he can get his result. But there's no question that, you know, there were so many things wrong in Boston this year. And I know it's easy and convenient to try to put it all on Kyrie. You know, he was a big part of the problem and maybe could have solved a lot of it had he not been the way he was about some things. But, you know, coaching and certainly the young guys, Gordon Hayward. I mean, there was a lot that wasn't right in Boston. So, you know, maybe a new team, maybe, you know, and you've done this too. You guys know this, you know, every organization thinks they can turn a questionable thing into a great thing in their system. So I don't think Kyrie's going to have a shortage of suitors, but I think that, is he the number one free agent on everybody's board? I think that's probably a no, because this is now two teams where he's been somewhat problematic.
Right. And the thing that you, Steve, that you touched on that I wanted to kind of delve a little deeper into is the change dynamic. It's something that if you watch him play, you see how he was in Cleveland, you see how he was in Boston. There are clearly some things he can do a better job with going forward. Do you think he can make those changes? Because, you know, just talking to one of his former teammates, a guy that we all know well, Kendrick Perkins, Perk made it very clear. He does not think he can make the changes that he needs to make things work because he's just set in his own ways. Do you think he can make the changes necessary to help elevate his team to that next level?
You know, that's always a hard thing to say, is like, you know, James Harden, like, why would James Harden change? He's become an MVP. He's gotten a $200 million contract. He's got a huge sneaker deal. Where's the motivation for him to change? you know, now it's to the point where I just want to change my teammates. You know, when you're Kyrie and three or four franchises are going to offer you full max and you've got one of the hottest selling shoe lines in business and you can still be whoever you want to be, where's the motivation to change unless you want to do it internally? And I don't think any of us know how Kyrie is personally wired in a way. Is he going to get pissed off and say, I got to be better? And I think that's what has to happen. I don't know necessarily if it's a question of can he change. It's does he want to change? Is he motivated to change? And I think what Perk is saying is probably true. At this point today, it doesn't seem like he recognizes that he needs to change.
Steve, you were telling us before we got going here that you're down in Miami and your team is actually working out in the same gym as Terry Rozier. One, obviously, give us some insight. Like, how's Terry looking out there with the guys he's competing with? And two, what do you think the chances are that if Kyrie walks away, that Terry could be their guy and the starting point guard for the Celtics next season?
Well, Terry looks great. You know, he's been in the gym really since the season ended. You know, he's carried a chip on his shoulder from the first day he got to Louisville. So that chip hasn't gone anywhere. And I know sometimes his manner doesn't always sit well with people. But, you know, we were just talking about Kyrie, you know, the drive to get better, the drive to be great. You know, Terry wants to be one of those guys. And he believes because he's had some success in the league that he can be one of those guys if given the opportunity. I think Danny kind of said this the right way, is that in the right circumstance, Terry Rozier could be very happy being a Boston Celtic. And that's not a crazy thing, right? You name me the starter, I'll give you anything you want and I'll re-sign in a second, because he loves the city of Boston. But he also doesn't want to be a backup for the rest of his career. He's trying to make his way. And, you know, there's other teams that are interested in Terry. You know, I think the market's going to be pretty reasonable for Terry. And I think it's going to be more than a Marcus Smart level contract, which is, you know, where the Celtics would love to see Terry Rozier. So then it comes down to what are you willing to match and how long are the terms? But, you know, the Celtics are keeping their door open. They've engaged Terry. You know, he's talked about the fact that, you know, he was in the gym every day wearing Boston Celtics gear. So he's not trying to run away from the situation. I think he understands where he's at. You know, it's up to the Celtics to decide whether or not they want him to be a big part of their future and not only make the financial commitment, but make the kind of commitment that makes it smart for Terry to sign.
Yeah, it's so many things that Danny Ainge and the Celtics have to address this offseason. Terry's one of them, Kyrie, also Anthony Davis. Steve, how do you think David Griffin ultimately will handle this? You know, before last week's news came out that AD still wanted to be traded and that the Pelicans were listening to teams now, I thought maybe David Griffin will wait, play the long game with this. You think that'll happen, or do you think they got to get it done before the draft or free agency comes about?
Well, I've been told they want to get it done before the draft. If Anthony Davis isn't in the boat, they're ready to move on. Life after AD, build around Drew Holiday and Zion Williamson, you know, start the next part. So I don't think they're going to let this linger. And I think that puts the Celtics at a somewhat of a disadvantage because they're going to have to make a deal before they have a lot of answers. And that's always kind of a scary proposition. The other part is David Griffin's being very analytical about this. He doesn't really care what Anthony Davis wants. And I liken it to Paul George, you know, Kawhi Leonard, Dwight Howard, you know, pick a dude that got traded. The team just cares about the return. It's what are you going to give me back? The Lakers are gearing up. I think they've got a couple of things that they could do around the draft that would put them in a really favorable position if David Griffin wants to move him to the Lakers. So I think there's going to be more of a bidding war on this. But I also had two teams. Don't get caught up in the four teams we're talking about in terms of the Knicks, the Brooklyn Nets, the Celtics, and the Lakers. Half the league would love to get Anthony Davis, and how many teams are willing to give up a lot of future things? And the motivations for the Pelicans change quite a bit when they win the draft lottery. They don't have to get the future face of the franchise immediately in an Anthony Davis deal. They could do what Boston did when they moved Kevin Garnett. You know, give me as many first round picks as you can possibly stomach and I'll figure it out in the future because I've got Zion. So there isn't like this desire that it has to be Jason Tatum or it has to be Caris LeVert or it has to be Kyle Kuzma to make a deal work. It can be a lot of different things, especially if it helps the Pelicans right size bad contracts, helps the Pelicans, you know, kind of figure out a future going forward. Because there's also an honest truth. I don't think you want four draft picks in this draft class.
Right.
It doesn't look like you're going to get a whole lot more than just a bunch of filled roster spots.
Oh, man, you're saying that now. The Celtics got three first-rounders, Steve. You know, I got to imagine the Celtics will trade some of that.
If Boston brings three dudes from this draft on first-round contracts.
I agree. Maybe it's a draft and stash guy.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a trade for some future assets or something like that.
The one I would watch is Ball Ball. You know, the word on Ball is that he may have to have his foot looked at again and may have to redshirt. So that's going to put him kind of in that Michael Porter Jr. bucket who's willing to take the risk on the future. And if you're sitting on three picks and you can't get real value out of it, you could draft Ball and just hope that he becomes great. That's the one to watch there, especially if they can't find a home for some of those picks.
Yeah, Sherrod has him in his mock draft 4.0. The Celtics taking Bol Bol. So you and Sherrod been talking off air. That's okay, Steve. I understand. That's your guy.
Stop hating. Grace is just hating.
All right, Steve Kyler, great stuff from Basketball Insiders. Checking him out on Steve Kyler NBA on Twitter. Steve, thanks for jumping on the Celtics Talk podcast.
Anytime, fellas. Be well.
All right.
You too, Steve. Thanks, man.
Steve Kyler once again on the Celtics Talk podcast. You know, he said a lot about Kyrie, Rozier, but to me, the fact that he said before the draft, the Anthony Davis trade,
it makes sense.
We may have some fireworks here in the next 2 weeks.
It makes sense. It makes a lot of sense for really everyone involved. I think if you're the Pelicans, you know, you're playing with house money. And if you get a deal that you think is just, man, that's just ridiculously sweet, we got to jump on that. You do that. Because at the end of the day, no matter what they do, I don't see the Pelicans losing in whatever deal they do.
Right, they're going to get assets.
They're going to get assets. And to me, that's an amazing position to be in on a team that, let's be honest, you got one chip that you could play. And then you had one that you were hopeful could turn into something good, and it turned into the best thing that it could possibly be. So, David Griffin, man, I need to hang out with that dude at the damn slot machine or something because, man, he just come up winning
right.
every damn time.
I know, right?
I mean, he's had more number one picks probably in the last decade than any GM.
It's like winning the lottery twice.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
you got
damn.
The Anthony Davis lottery because you're going to collect on that. And you get the number one pick.
That ain't right.
All right, man, I'm getting out of here. Next week, we're going to dive heavily into the draft. I already know who Sherrod wants them to take. I already briefly
I got
mentioned
my guy.
Who I think they should take.
You already saw Mock 5.0?
Mock 5.0 is
5.0
is
out?
It's not yet, but it will be soon.
I saw 4.0, and I see he got boo boo. But we'll talk about that next week. We'll have some draft experts joining us as well. For A. Sherrod Blakely, Chris Forsberg, I'm Kyle Draper. Shout out to Steve Kyler once again. We'll see you next time on the Celtics Talk podcast.
We out.